Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma for Monday, June 24th, 2013. I'm your host, Heather Stegel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do once a month on Blog Talk Radio. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals and teams to lead organizational change at Enclaria. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority, and my goal with the show is to share ideas and stories to help you do just that. Today, my guest is Daryl Connor, who will share his thoughts on finding your change agent voice. Daryl is chairman of Connor Partners, an Atlanta-based consulting firm that specializes in strategy execution. He is an internationally recognized leader in organizational change and serves as an advisor and mentor to senior executives around the globe. He founded ODR, a training and consulting firm specializing in change management, in 1974. In 2004, he relaunched the company as Connor Partners, incorporating ODR's tools and methodologies into a larger framework called strategy execution. During nearly four decades of practice, Daryl has worked with many of the most successful organizations in the world, including Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and nonprofit institutions, to help them achieve the full intent of their most urgent and critically important initiatives. A dynamic public speaker, he has addressed thousands of executives in corporate settings, national conferences, and public programs. His work is built on a strong foundation of research, extensive consulting experience, and a master's degree in psychology and a deep spiritual focus. He has authored three books, Managing at the Speed of Change, Leading at the Edge of Chaos, and Project Change Management with James Harrington, and more than 250 publications, including journal and magazine articles, book chapters, and videos. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for the invitation. I've been looking forward to it.
Great. Yes, and thank you for rescheduling so quickly after our technical difficulties last week. If anyone tried to listen in last week, that's what happened. But thank you for tuning in again, and thank you, Daryl, for joining me again. So when I first invited you to be a guest on the show, I was wondering, you know, how am I going to narrow down what I could possibly talk about change management with Daryl Connor? And so Well, just looking at your blog, I noticed that recently you've had this theme going where you're talking about who we are as change practitioners versus what we do. And so I thought we could talk about that today. So let's start there. Why is who we are important as change practitioners?
Well, I'm glad you drew a comparison to the who we are versus what we do, because to me that's the only – the context that it surfaced for me, and I noticed myself and many of the other practitioners that I have exposure to, we spend so much of our professional energy creating or assembling various methodologies and tools and techniques and concepts and frameworks, and of course we need that, absolutely. But there's another aspect to practicing the craft, and so in addition to what we do, which involves what we know and the tools we use, there's the who we are. The sense of who we are as human beings as we bring those tools and techniques to the client. So I just really got interested in trying to better understand for myself and share with others this relationship between the mechanics, if you will, of being a professional change agent, and then the personhood that we then attach those mechanics to. Heather, I'm not suggesting that that who we are replaces what we do, but I do think that from a professional community standpoint, I think that oftentimes our profession is relegated to more tactical, less important projects, and I think sometimes it's because we've not conveyed the right presence, and so that's what led me into this whole investigation of what's underneath who we are when we do the work that we do. And what it led me to is two, I think, two key aspects to who we are: the character that we represent, and the expression of that character that I call presence. So if you think of character as the essence of who you are as a human being, and presence as the voice you give to that. So the way you interact with clients is with your presence, and it's reflecting the character. Those are the two, I think, at least two ways that we can better understand and explore this notion of who am I as a person when I interact with the client.
Well, let's dig into those character and presence a little bit more. What do you mean by those?
So think of character as what you're left with after all of the trappings have been pulled away. You know, we've got all of these things that we use to identify ourselves. We've got our car, our hairdo, or the way we dress, or the degree we have. We have all these mechanisms that we use to identify ourselves with others. Well, think of character as what's underneath all of that. You know, so who am I without all the trappings? There's a wonderful artist that I've really gotten taken with, Heather, recently. I actually don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm gonna call him Pennone, but I don't. I suspect that's not it. He's Italian. It's Pennone. So I'm sure I'm brutalizing his name, but he does his artwork is so interesting to me because it reflects, I think, the character in us. What he does is he takes these large oak trees, and he basically digs into them until he finds the original sapling. And he, and what I mean by that is he's not taking a big piece of wood and creating what appears to be a sapling. He actually pulls all the wood away in the trunk from that a very original sapling, and then he leaves that in place. And what you see there is that inside this huge oak tree is the actual origins, the essence of what that oak tree is about, if you will. So I think of that as kind of a metaphor for character. We each come into our life with a core essence, and then we spend most of our lives kind of attaching identity things on it, and oftentimes that essence gets lost. Now, as consultants, as internal and external change practitioners, the relevancy of that is that oftentimes we end up getting all caught up in trying to please everybody else, our boss or our client, whatever, and we don't really authentically reflect that sapling. We kind of lose contact with it. So we lose contact with our own character, if you will. And so if character is the essence of who we are, and presence is how we convey that, then what's gotten clear for me in my work anyway is to try to line up first to have an authentic expression of my character, to just be who I am with clients. Of course, I'm going to use tools and techniques, but to not couch all that in a way of, you know, being overly concerned about whether they're pleased or comfortable, but just being brutally frank about who I am and how I'm interpreting their situation. So if you will, I'm trying to line up in an authentic way my character and the way I express that, which is presence. If you think of that as the first two steps, then if it's possible for us to authentically represent who we are, then the next piece is to make sure that we are practicing our craft with clients who really would value that package. So if you think of your character and presence as a package, many times change practitioners end up in environments where that package isn't very valuable. People don't affirm it. They basically say, Heather, you know, if you would be something different than you really are, then you'd be okay here. And I think a lot of us spend time trying to accommodate the various environments that we're in instead of being who we are and trying to find clients who will match that. So to me, the ultimate objective is to understand enough about my character to be able to authentically represent that it to clients, and then to find clients who would appreciate that package rather than me to try to contort myself to always be, you know, acceptable or pleasing to the clients we're with. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, I like that oak tree metaphor. That I think I've actually seen that before. I didn't know the artist's name, but
it's a very powerful.
That sounded familiar when you mentioned that. So
very
then, how do you find your personal voice? How do you find your character as a change agent? How do you know what that is?
My experience is that it's a bit paradoxical. Rather than to go looking for my character, what I have found is that it is what's left after I take away all the trappings. So when I look at all the ways that I'm trying to stay in the good graces of a client, or trying to make sure that they're not overly disturbed by something, when I put all these nuances and subtleties into making the client comfortable, if you will, what I'm doing is I'm kind of getting away from the essence of what I've got to say. And so by taking away the parts that have become inhibiting to my expression, what I'm left with is just basically who I am. And it varies. For me, when I take all that other stuff away, I'd like to think that I come across as caring, but I'm just very, very frank. I'm just cut to the chase. And so what I've learned is that I need to find clients that would really value that. Not all practitioners would have that as part of their character, and not all clients want it. And that's the point, is if we can find who we really are, be blatantly honest with ourselves and our clients about who we are, then it's like sending out kind of a broadcast signal. What you're looking for are potential clients that have their radios tuned into that frequency. And so, you know, what better professional environment could we be in than to actually be paid for who we really are, instead of trying to earn a living masking who I am to keep somebody else satisfied?
Yeah, that reminds me of a book that I've gone to a number of times by Michael Port called Book Yourself Solid. He calls that your velvet rope policy. So
yeah.
if you're trying to get into a club, they have the velvet rope, so only certain people can get in, kind of idea. And so if you put out a velvet rope, which is, you know, if you put out what you're saying, put out who you are, what your character is, then the only people who would be attracted to you would be the people who you would want to let in, I guess. And everyone else would be sort of turned off by that.
Yeah, I mean, if we can use a musical metaphor here, it's really, you know, play your music. Instead of playing the music that will get a whole bunch of people into the auditorium, play the music that's really you and see who shows up. So, I mean, to me, a real fan, as opposed to somebody who will buy a ticket, a real fan of music not only is appreciative of the music itself, but is appreciative of how that particular musician plays. And that's a real fan. And so for me, when I think about us as change practitioners, we spend so much time trying to get people in the auditorium, you know, what music do you want to hear? And it frankly can come across as kind of technical. When we do that, we're trying to satisfy too many people. Instead of, this is the music I play. I play it really well. If this resonates with who you are, then I'm playing on Friday night. You know, you're invited kind of a thing. Now, this isn't, you know, this could sound like it's an alternative, Heather, to making a living, right? and so I want to be clear about that. I think that as change practitioners, we're really, right today is, I mean, I've been, as you noted at the beginning, I've been at this for 40 years. I remember when no one knew how to spell change, much less have any interest in, you know, a change consultant. Yeah. We're living in a period now where there's so much more. First of all, there's more change than ever, and it's more complex. But there's a predisposition today that's different than it used to be. There's actually interest with leaders in learning more about this thing called change management. So what that means is that there's a wider pool of potential people listening to the radio now. So you actually can narrow down to your particular audience and just play to that audience. So this really isn't, you know, some altruistic, hey, you know, do this instead of making a living. I actually think this is the way to make a living, because what I see with change agents who try to satisfy too many people by mortgaging their character and presence and just try to be a chameleon, they burn out. They end up being so focused on tools and techniques, there's no soul to what they do. And frankly, they tend not to last as long in our business, or they tend to go comatose, staying in the business. This is a way, I think, of providing much more value to the client, because I'm not only bringing tools and techniques, I'm bringing who I am, and I've matched it up with that's the kind of person you want to partner with. So it's not only more value to the client, but it's a much more fulfilling professional life for me. And the more fulfilled we are, generally speaking, the more we can thrive and grow. As opposed to kind of retiring on the job. So I think it has tremendous benefit for the client, but also for us as practitioners.
So that begs the question, you know, what qualities of who we are, what qualities of our character may enable us to better facilitate change? You know, are there qualities that are more attuned to that?
I think they are, but rather than, you know, there's not a list of them out there, Heather. It's in the sense that, you know, if you've got this one, you're in good shape. If you have that one, you're not. Because remember, the point here isn't to let me back up. You don't create your character. I don't believe you develop your character. I think what you do is you reveal it, you uncover it. It is what it is. And oftentimes what we've done is we don't like a certain part of our character, so we'll try to squish it, or we'll try to deny that it's there. And unfortunately, it doesn't go anywhere, and so it comes up in ways that's not very helpful. So my suggestion is that rather than for us to seek a character, some features that we all, you know, collectively might think as change practitioners would be good, I think the way to go here is just to be brutally frank with ourselves. What am I really about? I mean, what do I stand for? When you take away all the other stuff, what's the essence of me? And I think, Heather, when we do that, I think sometimes we find some things that aren't that facilitative. You know, there may be some arrogance there. There may be some impatience there. There may be some lack of sensitivity, things that you wouldn't normally associate with being a good change consultant. Well, okay, now I can pretend those things don't exist, or I can be honest with myself that they do and make an informed decision about, given that that's who I am, is there a way to channel that? So that it can have a productive output. Is there at least, at a minimum, I need to be aware that I might have some of those tendencies. So I would avoid anything that would end up with, you know, kind of the top 10 characteristics that would suggest we're good change consultants, because I think that could lend itself to us trying to become something rather than trying to reveal what we really are.
Or making people think that they can't do it because they don't have those qualities.
Exactly. And the point I'm making is there's probably an audience. Even if you're completely impatient and arrogant, there's probably an audience for that out there, okay? Now, I'm joking, but there's so much change in the world, and there's so many people trying to accomplish it, and they know so little about how to execute change that Heather, just look at your own experience. Here you are, somebody in Atlanta, Georgia, that has decided to put on a monthly program. Now, imagine trying to do that, 20 years ago. People would have said, well, you're crazy. You can't do that. But you've got a following. You've got an audience. You've got people who show up. And all you're doing is you're just doing what you do, and you're doing it well, and you're doing it with passion. And you may not end up with hundreds of thousands or millions of listeners. Maybe you will. But there's an audience there that is resonating with what you're about, and that's what understanding your character means, and for you to be bold about expressing it, that's the presence that you project.
Okay. So back to something that you said, that maybe you can channel some parts of the character that may not be exactly conducive to change management and see how that might manifest itself in a different way. So it sounds like you can change maybe your presence as a reflection of that character. Is that how you might describe that?
Yes, and I think that distinction, Heather, I think is a really important one. Because so think of it this way. Character is so uniquely you or me that no one actually knows. It's so internal, so introspective, no one really can tell what somebody else's character is because we don't see it. It's too embedded in the tree. What we see is the presence that's reflected by that character. So think of presence as the voice. The character doesn't have a voice. It's sort of that sapling inside the tree trunk. The presence is the voice. Presence is the interface to the human world, if you will.
Maybe presence is the tree.
Yes, okay, you could take
that metaphor.
Well, go with that. So you walk by the certain trees, and sometimes we're kind of drawn to them. It's like, wow, it's almost like an ambiance around that tree, and then other trees seem to be living but not necessarily alive. So if we play out that metaphor, certain trees are emitting a vibe or whatever we want to call it, and let's call that their presence. Okay, so now if that presence, the way you interact with people, can definitely be changed. We can add some things or subtract. You can't add or subtract to your character, I don't think, but you can add or subtract to your presence. Now here's the trick, though. Most people, Heather, my experience, most people who want greater effectiveness with their clients, whether they're internal practitioners or external consultants, it doesn't matter. When practitioners want to increase their effectiveness, the tendency is to work on presence without regard to character. So what that means is I still have the same character, but what I'm going to do is just add something else on top of it. So I'm going to go to an empathy course, or I'm going to go to a communications course, or I'm going to learn some new technique. What I think is harder work, but is more effective work in this area, is not to just add another technique on top of character, but to actually go into starting with character. So rather than to modify my presence so that I could have more impact, crawl all the way into who am I? What am I about? At the character level, what am I about? And let me express that with my presence. Heather, I think so many people in our business are stifled. They're in environments, they have clients, they have bosses, where the last thing they can afford, they believe they can afford to do is to be who they really are. I can't really go in and tell that person what's honestly going on with their change project because they'll get all upset, and I might lose my job. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to water down what I know is going on. I'm going to water it down so it'll be less disruptive to them. Now, the problem with that is with really important change, those leaders need more of a professional partner than they do somebody that would water down the information. Imagine going to a physician. You've got some kind of major illness. Imagine going to a physician that dealt with nuances and subtleties and didn't actually want to say anything that would upset you. No, you're looking for a physician that'll be in your face. This is what's going on. Let's cut to the chase here because you need to make an informed decision about what to do. That's the kind of practicing of the craft that I believe many more practitioners can move to if they're willing to honestly express this character through their presence instead of just adding a new technique on.
Okay, so using your example, what if your character is not to be that frank and direct?
Well, see, then what you need to find are clients that they're not looking for that kind of frankness and directness. They're looking for the subtleties. Match, that's the key. Find out who you really are. Express that and match those two things up, your presence and character, with clients who are looking for exactly what it is you have to offer. Not everybody, Heather, is going to be interested in your radio shows, but the ones who are really interested. Not okay, and your show is not a comedy show, okay? So that's the equivalent of
not usually.
So the fact that some practitioners are prone toward directness, there are clients. Some practitioners are not, and there are clients for them too. So it's a matter of matching up who are you really and who out there would love to work with somebody exactly the way you are, if you'll just be honestly who you are.
Great. So let's start wrapping up because we're almost out of time. What's the key takeaway that you want people to get from our conversation today?
That branding and distinctiveness today in our work is not about tools and techniques. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are, and the way to explore and come forward with who you are is to better understand and use character and presence as a key asset, a key part of the value that we bring to the work that we do. Those are the things that to me are kind of the net.
Great. So how can people find out more about these concepts?
Well, I've been doing a lot of writing, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, and on my blog, which is changethinking.net. There's several postings in there about character and presence. Sort of the two foundational ones, if people want to go there and look in the archives, is there's one that is titled Character and Presence, and there's another one around titled Cultivating Character. There are other postings in there, but those two are kind of benchmarks. Also, I've begun to put on training programs exclusively for change agents around character and presence. It's called Raising Your Game. The next one is August 16th and 17th in Hartford. And if anybody has an interest in that, they can email me at daryl@connerpartners.com. And I'd be happy to send them more descriptive information about that. But that's just for professional change agents that go to that.
Great. Daryl, thanks so much for being here today. I appreciate your time and all your thoughts on character and presence.
Thank you, Heather. Enjoy the dialogue.
Great. And the next episode is coming up on Monday, July 29th. My guest will be Tanya Cornelius, the Vice President of Learning and Organizational Development at ESPN, where they have been implementing a change management approach that has been customized to ESPN. So I'm going to talk to her about what that looks like and how they rolled it out. Thank you so much for listening to the Change Agents Dilemma. If you'd like to be notified of future episodes and other resources to help you influence change in your organization, I invite you to sign up for my monthly newsletter at inclaria.com. Not only will you receive helpful tips, but when you subscribe, you'll also receive a free chapter from my change management toolkit, The Irresistible Change Guide. Until next time, take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer odor control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer odor control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.